Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Good morning and welcome to the programme. Today, dental checks for children are delayed for 10 years in some parts of the country. We'll hear why. More drones at Dublin Airport impact flights. How can they be stopped? Some vegetables in short supply, lack of snow in ski resorts and soaring demand for meat. Environmental journalist George Monbiot on the links to climate change. Warren Gatland says this weekend's Welsh rugby clash against England will go ahead of a crucial meeting today. We'll bring you the latest on the player dispute. We've all become used to brandishing the loyalty card at the supermarket, but Adam Maguire explains why they might be more valuable to the business than to the shopper. And solicitor Elaine Byrne will be here to answer your questions about wills and probate, so do get in touch. Email todaycb@rte.ie. You can also text us this morning, 51551, and on Twitter we're at Today with Claire. After the controversial debt write-down deal between AIB and the hurler DJ Carey, which saw a €9.5 million debt significantly reduced for Carey, the bank has moved to defend itself and the manner in which it agrees these debt write-down settlements. In an internal memo yesterday, AIB outlined how it exhausts all appropriate avenues to recover debts. And in that memo, its head of banking, Jim O'Keefe, said he couldn't comment on individual cases, but he wanted to clarify AIB's approach to write-downs following commentary in recent days. Well, I'm joined now by Tom Lyons, journalist and CEO at The Currency. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Claire.
Could you talk us through this memo, first of all, and what's been reported from it?
Well, the memo was sent to all staff on Tuesday by AIB's head of retail banking, Jim O'Keefe. And he doesn't name DJ Carey in the memo, but he refers to recent commentary about settlements. And he says that these are only agreed after a robust governance process. And he said that all appropriate avenues would have been taken to try and get the debt repaid before these agreements are entered into. So it's something that, you know, as it doesn't mention DJ Carey, given the reference to commentary, is very clearly the bank coming out and trying to defend itself.
And in terms of the bank sending that internal memo in the first place, what do you make of that decision?
It is very unusual, but I think it's in response to what is a very hot topic, which would anger a lot of people who haven't received any debt write downs and who instead have had to, you know, shoulder debt that might have been lent to them during the Celtic Tiger, and that they're still making repayments and trying to deal with today. So clearly, it's something that is coming up, you know, in the branches and is coming up with customers. So the bank really is trying to set out, look, this is our position, and that, you know, we treated DJ Carey, you know, with robust corporate governance, and we treat them the same way as we would have treated many other borrowers who have also received debt write-downs.
So you would imagine that people who are in that situation, who are still repaying loans from that era of 2007 and onwards through the crash years, that they've been talking to AIB themselves over the last week?
Absolutely, and sure, you know, anyone who's on the street talking to people can see that this is a topic of conversation, as you know, this is €9.5 million is a very large sum, and a lot of it, 80% of it, after the sale of certain assets, you know, was written down. People who borrowed during the Celtic Tiger to perhaps buy a family home, to perhaps buy some investment properties or invest in a business, you know, many of those people are still making repayments today. Mm-hmm. And that's because the bank or their various banks, you know, consider them capable of making repayments and capable of eventually paying back all the debt back, whereas clearly in this case and in many others, a different position was taken.
Let's talk about one of the key questions that emerges here, because we know that several members of the Oireachtas Finance Committee want AIB to appear before them. So the amount of debt involved, I'm sure if they get the opportunity, they'll be asking how this was allowed to accrue in the first place.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that's going to be a question that will have to be asked, which is how did the bank lend an amateur sports star so much money to invest only in one asset class, which is essentially luxury properties on golf courses. Now, they'll ask that question. I think they'll also ask about the specifics of how the debt write-down was reached. And they'll also be looking to say, look, what sort of clawbacks did you have as part of this agreement? As there usually would be, you know, there would be clauses saying, look, if you win the lottery, you know, the following year, you need to pay that money towards your debt. Mm-hmm. Or if you achieve a windfall, or there's a sudden breakthrough in business, that like those clauses be very common. So I think that they would be other things that the committee will be asking about.
Take us back though to that time and these properties, as you say, on golf courses, and the K Club in particular is the relevant one here. Those properties at that time were very valuable, weren't they?
Absolutely. I mean, there was a prestige around them. If you think back to the K Club in 2006, it had hosted the Ryder Cup. It was the place to be seen, and it was just the place for rich people to invest. And that's where DJ Carey owned two houses. And then he owned a third house down the road in another luxury golf resort called Mount Juliet. So you're looking at, you know, properties which for a period there was huge interest in, and it was seen as being, look, Ireland and these golf courses in particular are going to be the home of golf, and that this would be the first place that like high spending Americans would arrive at on their trips to Europe. So everybody was plowing in, and then when the tide came out with the financial crash, suddenly we had all of these people, Claire, who owned these properties, were unable to rent them, unable to sell them, and came under a huge amount of financial pressure, including DJ Carey.
And coming back then to the Finance Committee and the questions that they might ask if AIB appear before them, because AIB, the state ownership element of that bank, that adds another pressure and another layer of questions to this whole situation, because we're talking about public money.
Absolutely. And I think it'll be interesting to see how the bank responds, as it does have a duty of confidentiality to DJ Carey and to all clients of the bank. So I think it'll be interesting to see what level of detail it can give. And I think it'll be something that the bank will have to be very conscious of, because this is a highly charged, highly controversial area where some people have been able to achieve debt write-downs. Now, often after many, many years of negotiations and intense pressure, it has to be said. But for those who didn't achieve the debt write-downs, understandably, it's frustrating, and it's something that they would like to know more about, because they haven't been in the same situation, and they haven't been under the same level of financial pressure. But they will have been under, you know, a considerable amount of pressure for a considerable amount of time too.
How common, Tom, were those debt write-downs for very large amounts of money?
Well, we know that the entire state required a European Union IMF bailout because of the sheer level of losses. We know that the National Asset Management Agency started off managing, you know, tens of thousands of individuals, and today it's down to a couple of hundred. Mm-hmm. All of those people didn't go bankrupt. They've had debt write-downs. Yeah. You know, there's been considerable. There's tens of thousands of people who've had debt write-downs, and some of them have been, you know, high-profile people. Sometimes it's been very large amounts of money, and other times it's been much smaller amounts of money that have allowed people to put the past behind them and move on.
Just going back to the memo from AIB to their staff, which says, I want to reassure you that the bank has a robust governance process for debt resolution and this process was followed. So then the question comes from that sentence. How do banks deal with high profile people, with celebrities, with public figures? There is a pressure and an obligation on them, isn't there, to make sure that there are no preferential treatments or deals going on?
Absolutely. I mean, there is considerable consideration of this. I mean, there's a whole category of people called politically exposed people who could be people who sit on state boards, who are relatives of politicians, who are politicians, or who are connected to governments overseas. So the bank does have procedures for treating high-profile categories of people. Somebody like DJ Carey, I mean, we'll have to wait and see what the bank says. Did he fall within that category? But, you know, he's a household name. I think it's pretty inevitable that the bank would have been very conscious that whatever deal we give this person, there's a headline risk, as this is something that could eventually emerge in the public domain. And it's saying very clearly in this memo, which refers to commentary, it's saying very clearly in this memo that it has a robust governance process in place for dealing with any borrower who finds themselves in this situation.
And it talks as well about recovering the debt through all possible avenues. Tom, is it very common to have to commit, if you're the person who owes the money, to giving a bank a portion of what you might earn in future, whether that's through work that you do or assets that you might accrue or even a windfall or a win? Is that common?
That would be very common and would be expected. And could be something that AIB maybe you would expect that they will be asked about. You know, and this usually goes on for a number of years. And it's the bank, you know, protecting itself. But it's got to get the balance right, because the borrower, of course, can go and say, look, I'm not doing this deal. I'm just going to go bankrupt.
Yes, that's an option, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the only card the borrower really has to play, which is say, look, you know, we could do this consensually, we could do this by agreement, or we can go the other route. And I'm going to go bankrupt, and it's going to take you a long time to get my assets. It's going to be messy. And very often in these cases, you see them saying, look, maybe I can put something additional on the table, and you could get this money if you agree to do the deal. I think this idea that the deal is done, there's always a tail to it. There's always a period of time where the bank is saying, look, if something happens over the next couple of years, we want to ensure that we've got part of that,
and
or even all of it.
The duration of that period of time when they can come back to you if you accrue anything, that's negotiable, is it, when you're doing the deal in the first place?
Yeah, that's negotiable, and it's usually something that they can determine on the basis of the person's age in life, whether the bank considers it likely that they will go bankrupt, how likely do they think it is. So the bank would be looking for, you know, a period of years usually. But it's a negotiation, and it's a negotiation in that context of the borrower being able to say, well, look, I want to do a deal, but I am prepared to go bankrupt if you're not prepared to give me one.
Tom, thank you very much. Tom Lyons, journalist and CEO at The Currency.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.